Hey, just popping in to warn you that this episode contains some pretty major content warnings. So if you want to be careful, please go to badheroescast.com/content warnings.
Oh my God.
What, huh? What?
Hold on. Sorry, Overcooked just started for no reason. I think I accidentally had steam in the background and it registered a keystroke, but...
Sign of lightning, perhaps?
Steam is trying to tell you something. It's trying to make a joke at you.
It's trying to tell you you are Overcooked currently.
I can only hear Overcooked music.
So this is how counter song works.
Previously on Bad Heroes, Ning launches a blast of white light from her cane. It collides with the barrier, and it creates a hole.
No!
Lena rolls backwards and escapes out of the hole.
No!
Oh my God.
Ning says, "I've got it here. Get her." As you all run down that path in pursuit of Lena, you hear a loud click, and the ground beneath you gives way. And you drop and land in cold water at the bottom of the pit.
Reva's gonna climb up onto Pax's shoulders.
Hey, what the fuck?
And jumps and disappears.
Lena is gonna start villain monologuing. Four strangers show up in Sanguine Sylvis looking for trouble. I had been waiting a long time for an opportunity that good.
While she's talking, Gideon just going to straight up interrupt her.
Gideon, you are shocked. This lightning bolt comes down
I
through
am
your
shocked.
Body. You are shocked.
Shocked and appalled.
Excuse me. I was speaking.
We can't fight Lena, so Ira is going to perform Fascinate. You've won, Lena. You're right. There is order to this world, and we're at the bottom of that order. You're at the top.
You're lucky Gideon's dead.
We don't have to be enemies, any of us. I'm your intellectual superior, but I can also be your ally.
You seem to see Ning in her werewolf form shuffling up the path. There's an initial will save to see if you identify that this is an illusion.
Lena's very distracted by the sudden appearance of what everyone fears, her mother.
Since Lena's distracted, Tonmir is going to force himself out of wild shape, and then he's going to use his Cloak of the Cypress because he's standing in water.
Oh.
You only see him for a brief second before you start seeing that bark again, all of the cloak enveloping him.
And you destroy this cage.
You see a huge fucking tree coming out of a hole.
Hey, quick question for the GM.
That is me.
So I was looking up that freedom of movement spell that Lena cast on herself.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I had assumed that all combat maneuver checks fail when that spell is active.
I have also assumed that. Was that not correct?
So actually, it says that all combat maneuver checks made to grapple automatically fail. But it doesn't say anything about the other types of combat maneuvers, which means that, like, I could have bull rushed.
Whoopsie doodle.
The reason why I looked it up was because, like, all dirty tricks are based on combat maneuver. And I was like, can I not do any dirty tricks against Lena? But it's just the things that restrict movement, like grapple or pin or like paralysis spells, web.
That makes sense. And that's my bad. Feel free to bull rush her in the future.
Okay.
That's a bunch of bull rush.
I'm not saying that like that would still be a good idea, but I'd love to have all the options of bad ideas open to me. So,
okay.
You?
I'm shocked.
Yes, you are.
So Tonrir turned into a big fucking tree. Did he need to do something to activate that or?
No, I'm just wearing it.
And you're in water.
Yep.
God, that's smart.
Oh, okay. It would have been great if you put the cloak on Gideon so she could heal and bust the cage open, but I see she's just a lump in the water.
Okay. All right. So a lot's happened.
Woo! This is getting exciting.
Now there's a tree.
I hope y'all are catching limbs to get up out of the pit.
Gideon's not.
You're not unconscious. You just feel terrible.
She just doesn't feel up to it.
Yeah, I can't climb on a good day.
Okay.
Do you remember last time Tonrir turned into a tree and he had to scoop me up?
Pax will get you. Mm-hmm.
I think Pax gathers you up, Gideon, to their chest and grabs onto one of the branches with a strong paw and just says, fuck yeah, going up, and goes up with this tree.
I was going to say that Ira does inspire confidence and does the
high five.
High five again. You got this.
Save yourself. Ira, do you want to ride the tree out?
Yes.
Give me a strength check.
Oh, isn't that the bad stat now because of Ira's condition?
And you have a negative condition to strength.
I do.
I mean, it's just to hold on. It's not to climb, fortunately. So hopefully the DC is not bad.
It's not super hard.
It's minus two?
Yeah,
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Six.
Okay, so I have good news and bad news for you. The good news, Ira, is that you had started feeling feverish. You had started feeling bad. And you're actually feeling better. The bad news is that you absolutely do not get out of this pit. You are still in this pit, and you are pressed between this tree and the edge of this pit, and it is not great.
Mm. Getting real crowded.
Ira, what's your climb skill?
Yeah, aren't you a cat?
You're a meow meow.
It's based on strength, so it honestly wouldn't be any better.
Mm. So Pax has just hauled me out of this pit with them?
Yeah. Lena and Ning need to have a conversation. So do I get to make like a second check?
Yes. This is the complicated one.
Okay. Hit me with the deets.
I have disguise check modifiers and then you get perception modifiers. And for efficiency's sake, I'll just run down the list. So for me, I get a plus 10 for using the disguise self spell. And then also a plus 2 because I have just a latent disguise skill. But then I get minus 2 because I'm trying to appear to be a werewolf, and minus 2 because I'm trying to appear to be a different age, because Ning is very old.
And you can do a werewolf because they're humanoid, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you being Ning the human right now? Because you mentioned the cane.
Ning the werewolf.
Okay.
She has her cane. It's just small for her now. She's kind of currently using it as like a casting staff. Or she was.
She's just in this form because that was what Ning last looked like when we last saw her.
Gotcha. Okay.
So those are my modifiers. Now, your perception modifiers, I think that you get plus whatever your perception skill is, and then also plus 10 for familiarity, because this is a family member.
Mm-hmm.
So that cancels out the plus 10 from my disguised self. But then I think you also should get a minus 4 for the weather, because we've all been operating under minus 4 because it's raining so hard.
Yes, because she also is trying to see through the wind and the rain.
So really, all of our modifiers kind of cancel each other out, because it's like plus 6 for me and then minus 6 for you. So we're really just rolling your perception versus my disguise.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. Oh, boy.
You want me to tell you mine first?
I'll tell you mine.
Okay.
13 plus 2.
I got a 17.
Oof. Damn.
Okay. I think that what happened was that Ning, she's walking as close to Lena as she will let her. And probably the closer that she gets, the more inconsistencies that Lena starts to notice.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that Riva's goal is to get within arm's reach of her.
Okay. I think you get about 15 feet away before she takes a look at you and sees that something is wrong.
Mm.
This is her mother, after all. I mean, she knows her very well. And it's hard to say exactly what's off. It's close. It's almost like when you see someone you know in a dream. Something is a little off. And I can only imagine how hard it would be to replicate someone's face. Because if we all weren't looking at each other right now, we know each other really well. But if you were trying to, like, make my face from your imagination, it would be pretty hard. It's just a little off, just enough that she notices.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same fucking time, a tree
explodes
this cage and brings Gideon and Pax with it. And Ira is somewhere. And Ira's like,
hello, did you maybe tell me you were going to become a tree?
Everybody give me a perception check.
Do I have any kind of penalty because I literally can't see?
No perception check from you. Everybody
16
else.
Plus 5 minus 4, so 17.
Okay.
16.
15.
14.
You don't get one. Riva, you see it the best, but you still can't quite make out what it is. You see a quick motion. And again, it is raining and thundering. It is dark. Ira is down in the pit with his torch. And you see a quick motion of her hand near her throat. And that's it. That's all you see.
Hmm.
And she kills you all.
And you're trying to get close to her, Riva?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everybody roll initiative.
Should I not, or just be at the bottom of the list since I'm currently a tree?
Yeah, you're not a part of this.
Okay.
What about Ira?
Yeah, I mean, you roll initiative because you're going to have to wedge yourself out of there.
Okay. 11
plus 7, 18.
12.
Okay.
14.
1.
Is a tree.
A tree with mage armor.
That's true.
That's true.
On your tree butt.
What's the AC of a tree?
I wouldn't know.
Oh, man.
Ba-dum-ba.
Can I do something for initiative?
Yes, you can. You haven't done very much.
So Gideon's going to take out that Cure Light Wounds potion that Ira had given her and just guzzle it.
Good idea.
Because she needs that shit.
Okay. Roll your health.
7.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Got 10 health points.
That's great.
Nailing it.
It's good.
All right. We are in the order now. Riva, it is you.
Okay. Does Riva know that Ning knows? Or sorry, does Riva know that Lena knows that she's not Ning?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, then she's going to try to keep the act up. Riva approaches Lena. This might be another reason why it's a dead giveaway. But she tries her best imitation of Ning's voice and says, Lena, what is the meaning of all this? That was terrible.
It was very mom-like.
Okay, so you approach and you do a impression of Ning and you ask what
a questionable impression of Ning.
Lena...
I'm going to die. You're just contemplating all the different ways to kill me.
What do I even do to you? Boy.
That's it for me.
I mean, if you get knocked down from 50, I'm going to be fucking impressed.
Mother, how nice of you to join me. Have you finally come around?
Oh, you're gonna just keep making me do this voice.
You made this bed.
Now I have to.
Now roleplay in it.
You gotta roleplay in it.
I've been thinking about what you said. And I think we should talk about it. But first, let's stop this.
Let me give you a hug.
That's all I ever wanted. Was for you to listen to me. And what are you doing?
I'm inching closer.
Okay.
So this is funny because originally my plan was to get close enough to steal the key from Lena, but that is kind of a moot point now because the entire cage is busted open. So she's just scooting closer.
To stab. Yeah, so you have enough time this round to get close to her. As you and Lena have a 5-foot distance between you, she holds up a hand.
Mm-hmm.
As if to ask you to stay back so you can talk.
Okay.
What do you do?
I feel like she's buying time. She casts something with the hand motion.
Okay.
She's already done it.
And Iris still in the pit.
I'm in the pit.
I fell in the pit.
We're all in the pit.
The other thing I could try to do is like a combat maneuver to toss her into the pit. But I don't want to do that.
But I'm in the pit.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to do that to Ira.
I mean, I guess we're kind of friends now.
Yeah.
Where did Pax plop me?
You're hanging onto the tree, like over the pit.
Oh, so Pax is still holding on to me and is hanging onto the tree over the pit.
Yes.
Not ideal?
Fuck it. So,
famous last words.
I like that way of thinking.
I'm gonna die. Okay, so was Lena still holding the key?
It's dangling from her belt.
Yeah, so like for a moment, Riva's eyes flicker to the key on Lena's belt. But then in the next moment, she glances over at the tree that has busted open the grate. Because Lena's given no indication that this disguise has failed.
Yeah.
So she's going to just like try to reason with her. And so when Lena holds up her hand to stop her, Riva, as Ning, extends a hand to her and says, "Come, let's head back to camp. Maybe have some tea?"
Is that it for your turn?
That's my turn.
Right after Lena just got saying, I know you weren't there. I know you weren't there.
I wasn't there.
And everyone else is just going.
Cute massive face slap, face palm emote.
All right, so it's Lena's turn. Lena smiles. And she reaches out and she takes your hand.
And then Hulk slams you.
And then does a touch attack.
And as she takes your hand and grips it, you feel something awful.
To your own mother.
You can see your veins in your hand, in your arm. You see your veins. And when someone identifies you as a fake, does your disguised person self fall?
I honestly don't know. But if something horrible is happening to me, I think my concentration
will drop.
So I think the second you start feeling this pain through your hand, through your forearm, this illusion drops and you are just Riva. And Lena is standing in front of you, gripping your hand. And as she grips your hand, you can see your veins through your gray skin. You can see your veins turning green. As this poison works its way up your arm and to your core.
What's your touch defense? Because I'm curious if this is a touch spell, if it's against the touch AC.
16.
Here's the thing, guys. Touch attack implies trying to touch someone who does not want to be touched. There is no touch attack here. You held out your hand.
Yeah, I did. Okay. All right.
What you do get to do is do a fortitude saving throw.
Okay, great. So Riva feels this horrible sensation spreading through her body, and she looks down and sees that she's like basically turning into the Hulk, and she cries out in pain. And my fortitude is a +7, and I rolled a 17, so 24.
Okay, so you managed to resist what you can tell is an extremely deadly poison.
So the disguise falls, and she looks Lena dead in the eye and says, "That was really mean."
Perfect.
Never try to trick the trickster, dear. And she is going to take a 5-foot step back. So she's going to carefully remove herself from your melee range, which means she does not take an attack of opportunity.
Okay. All right. Did I take any damage from that, or is it negated by the resistance?
It says saving throw, fortitude negates, so yeah.
Whew, okay.
Ira, it is you.
Get that climb going. You gotta get out.
What was your climb check, Ira?
3.
Ira's in the pit. We're all in the pit. Well, Ira, do you want to do anything else?
What else can I do?
Not a lot.
Can somebody do 2 move actions in lieu of?
Because you can do a move action and a standard action, and you can replace a standard action with a move action.
I mean, normally you can do 2 move actions in order to run. This is kind of a different deal where you're trying to do a skill check to get out. But I mean, yeah, I feel bad that you're stuck in a pit. So go ahead and try again.
My God. It's 5.
Okay, well, that's your home now.
Enjoy.
You've given me so many opportunities. Oh, God.
All right, Gideon, it is you.
So I'm still just dangling off this tree in Pax's arms?
Yes, Pax has you held to their chest. You're looking better with your crisp 10 hit points, but you still have those lines running over your body, and you still feel charred. I think it's safe to say your hair is all kinds of out of place.
Launch me, dragon.
That's our second Arrested Development joke this game. If we do a third, I think...
we have to pay royalties or something?
I think we summon Job, like Beetlejuice. And we'll hear, da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da.
So basically, what has happened is that Gideon has seen Lena take Ning, who has turned back into Reva's hand, and then Reva looking a mess.
The illusion dropped, yeah.
That's the current situation?
Mm-hmm.
She allowed Reva to approach within melee range to touch her hand, and then she did a touch attack and stepped back. So she's 10 feet from the pit and about 10 feet from you.
So Lena's attention is back on all of us again, right?
Yeah. I think she just saw a tree bust out of this cage, and she knows she knows it's on. She knows what's up.
Is she still partially transformed?
Yeah. It's kind of her full moon look.
Well, then, Gideon, still in Pax's grasp, she's going to reach her hand out and snap her fingers and cast Flare, which creates a burst of light in front of a single creature and can dazzle them for 1 minute unless they do a fortitude save.
That's a 16 on the dice, so that's going to be a 18. Do I save?
Yeah, the difficulty check is 14.
All right. So she ignores your tiny firework. What else you got?
That's all I can do, right?
You can move.
Can I?
Yes, you have 10 hit points. You're not dead.
No, but I'm held in
a tree by a wolf.
If you want to go, they'll let you go.
If they let me go, I'll just fall right back into the pit.
Okay. The branches will have bloomed out, right? So
the branches have kind of like carried you out. I would say if you wanted to drop out of Pax's arms onto the nice solid earth next to the pit, you could do that.
Okay. Then, yeah, Gideon will tap Pax's arm, signaling that she wants to be let go, and then she'll drop down onto the forest floor.
Okay. So you drop out of Pax's arms and head towards Lena. All right.
So it's Pax's turn.
Yes. So Pax is still hanging from that tree, still has one arm on the cypress tree, and is surveying the scene. And Pax is looking at Lena, and Pax looks sad. Like, more sad than you would think. In fact, Pax looked really angry, but now is just kind of starting to look devastated. And they look at Lena, and they say, Lena, is this because you can't shift? Because, Lena, you don't have to prove anything. You don't have to be better than anyone. You're enough, just like that. I always thought so. I tried to tell you when we were together.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
Coolness just fucking left. Coolness just walked away from his microphone. He's gone now.
Vanished into the shadow realm.
This corner is lovely.
Coolness cast blink.
I just imagined, like, among all of this chaos, everyone's like, yeah, we're going to take down Lena. I'm in fight-ready position. Tanner is a tree. And then, like, even the tree turns and everyone makes the same, like, face.
Wait.
Ooh.
Is Pax's son Lena's son?
I will say Pax's son, Auden, looks nothing like Lena. Pax's son, though, also looks nothing like them.
Mm.
Pax's son is blonde. Pax has dark hair and is not white, and neither is Lena.
So we don't know, but Auden could potentially be an adopted son.
It certainly seems that way, yeah.
So Auden's a Baratheon, is what you're saying.
A what? Great.
They did not watch that.
No.
And Lena, who is slowly backing away from Reva and Gideon, says, "Shut up. Shut up, Pax. Killing is what we were made for, you and me both. You know it's true. There is no truer purpose for us than to chase down something lower on the food chain and put them in their place. All of biology is behind me. Every bone in your body tells this story. The shape of your teeth, the length of your intestines, the spread of your step. You've got nothing but pacifist philosophy on your side, and when push comes to shove, you are just as much of an animal as I am. Give it a minute. You'll agree." And clouds part in the sky to show the full moon more clearly. Everybody give me a quick perception check.
Are we still at a minus four?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a 14 total.
We got 269.
I don't think so. No. You got some modifiers on there, huh?
17 plus 8 minus 4. So 17 plus 4. 21.
13.
Doo-doo-doo. Ira, I guess. I don't know how you're going to be able to see this, but what'd you get?
Well, I won't see it very well because I got a... Well, I rolled a 3, but my perception is 11, so it's 10.
Damn, you have a nice modifier.
Them cat eyes.
I'm actually an 8. I forgot about the modifier. 8 because I have no tree eyes.
Yeah, how are you fucking seeing shit?
Just sensing vibrations.
Perceiving. Yeah.
Okay, Gideon, Reva. Gideon, certainly, because you are the closest to Pax. You look up at Pax, and you actually see a small mark on their chest bleeding. Almost as if they have been hit by a very small knife.
Reva's eyes are darting back and forth between Lena and Pax, and right after Lena had said what she just said, she's like, "Give it a minute. What do you mean, give it a minute? Give what a minute?"
And Pax's hand starts to slip on the tree, and they slide back towards the base. And as they do, they put a hand to their chest and they say, "Oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit." And start sliding backwards, and their grip starts to falter, and Pax falls down into the pit.
With Ira.
Wait!
With Ira.
Okay, so Gideon's going to yell into the pit, "Ira, you have to get out of there now."
What do you think I've been trying to do?
It is more urgent now than ever.
Ira, I think that you can see around the base of this tree, because there are sort of these big roots that have displaced some of the like bricks that used to form the wall. And you can see around through these branches, you can see Pax, who is this huge, beautiful werewolf, this lovely dark brown color. They're yellow. Yellow eyes are reflective, and normally their face, even in werewolf form, has this softness, this gentle look to them. But for the first time, that look is gone. And you hear, "The sun and the moon. Fuck, fuck, fuck. The sun and the moon. Get away from me. The sun and the moon still moving. The fuck. The sun and the sun." And you hear Pax struggling, and I think you feel a strong sense of impending danger.
Anybody got Quisine left?
No.
Didn't we?
We gave it to Solus.
But it's been raining so hard. I was like, we dipped our weapons in Quisine at the beginning of this.
We've also used our weapons on a lot.
Yeah, on Iris.
If you left any weapon sheathed for the first part of this fight in the rain, or like if there's any weapon that has been put away since you dipped it in Quisine, that will still have Quisine, but everything else will be washed clean.
Mm.
So my arrows.
Well, my claws got put away.
If you're saying that the Quisine went in with the claws, you should be a lot more calm than you actually are.
And Gideon's like, "Don't worry about it, man. It's all good. We're all just brothers and sisters under the same sun.
A little bit of electricity never hurt nobody.
It's like the mantra says, baby."
Whose turn is next?
Next is the Tawn Tree.
So I bark. I mean, Tanrir is not going to be able to do much. He's not aware of what's just happened. So guess who's also going to come back down in the pit? So he's going to start. It's going to be two actions. Firstly, to shift out of the tree form and then to climb out of the pit.
Okay. Tell me what turning out of your tree form looks like. I pictured you like in the base of the trunk, kind of. I mean, mm-hmm. I know that you are the tree, but I picture like that's where it grew from, is mm-hmm. you are kind of standing where the roots are, like the roots are your feet and the branches are your arms. And so when it pulls back into you, are you still standing where you were standing?
Yeah. I mean, it's very much the same as when everybody saw it the first time. As the tree gets smaller, the bark will eventually recede and you'll start seeing Tanrir almost being unburied by the bark as it morphs into the clothing and then becomes the clothing. And before long, his feet are the only things that are somewhat steeped in the mud, and he pulls his feet out of there so that way he can start climbing.
You get a nice eyeful of Ira mm-hmm. in this pit, stuck in this pit, and then Pax curled up beside you, and then Pax does not look right.
Pax does not look right. And I'm guessing as Tonmir is coming out of tree form, he's hearing Pax say that.
Mm-hmm. You're yeah. probably also hearing Gideon, who has, like, she's standing right next to the pit and she's kind of looking mm-hmm. down into it. She's just yelling, like, frantic warnings because she saw what happened to Pax.
Okay.
You want to give us some of those warnings?
No.
Will you give us some of those warnings?
Yeah, so she's probably just repeatedly yelling down, like, you have to get out of there now. Pax is going to turn. They've been hit by Lena's dagger. You have to get out.
Okay. Ooh, dissension time.
Yeah, do you leave Ira to his
yeah.
fate?
I'm actually going to roll for it.
Oh, man. Okay.
If it's greater than 10, Tonmer's going to leave the pit. It's greater than 10.
Well,
Here's what's going to happen.
Every man for himself.
Jesus.
Because here's the thing. Gideon and Reva, he's still contending with that animalistic drive. And there are so many emotions that are just contesting right now that he is having a hard time keeping focus. It's very evident by what you're feeling. And he wants to get out there and stop Lena. So what he's going to do, he's going to try to climb out. And I realize that my acrobatics is where it's at, but not my climb. So we're going to see if I get out of the pit.
I would try to help you, but I wouldn't be of any help because it would be a strength.
Yeah, I did put on Aspect of the Bear, which is that constitution or strength? Fuck.
I'm really worried about Ira. I can't believe you're leaving him in there.
Neither can I, but I mean.
I have a plan.
Good, good.
Reva's gonna fucking pay back that river stunt and just go back there and be like, high five, you got this.
Reva reaches down into the pit, holds out her hand and says, you can do it. Reva plays you a motivational song as you fly back.
Tonrir is going to, before he starts ascending out, he's gonna take three arrows out of his quiver and he's gonna go, Pax, stab yourself. And he's going to hand the arrows to Pax before he starts climbing out.
Okay. All right.
You could have just told him to lick it.
Getting an intravenous is the better solution. That's why we put him in Quaising.
It's also
right?
far more edgy.
So anticlimactic. Pax, yep. Lick these.
Lem.
That's a 13 to get out.
We'll make him a little pup pop.
Yeah.
13. I'm trying to think of what I had this check be before, but I think it was more than 13.
Okay, I'll ask for some leniency because the well's been made uneven by the tree.
It's been broken up.
What I'm hoping for is that the bricks have become handholds.
They're thinking, contemplating your fate.
because otherwise it's going to be stab yourself or I'm going to stay down here and stab you for you.
Yeah. So I'm just imagining, because like typically when you would think of this scene in like a TV show or a movie or something, like the person at the top yelling down, "You got to get out of there," would be like reaching in to be like, "Take my hand, let me help you up." And Gideon's not doing that because she's like, "I have absolutely no chance of helping you, but you have to get out of there."
Why is Pax so close to me? can you
don't
change
stand
that?
So, don't stand so.
Don't stand so close to me.
God damn it.
I'm advocating for a DC 10, but I also see why it's a DC 15.
So DC 15, any surface with adequate handholds or footholds, natural or artificial, such as a very rough material, natural rock surface, or a tree, an unknotted rope, or pulling yourself up when dangling by your hands. So it has adequate handholds and footholds. I think 15 is fair.
Yeah.
I think 10 would be too low.
Yeah.
So you are in the pit. You're still in the pit. So I think you try to climb up. You hand pack these arrows very dramatically, and you do not make it out.
Cool. Well, that's my turn. That's all I do. So I'm going to go back to watching y'all enjoy this.
I just imagine you like very like dramatically hand the arrows, and then you try to climb out and then just like trip over yourself. And it started out really cool.
Imagine really it more like a stab yourself and then like scrabbling and then just turning around and going, "Well, I'm still here."
You should still stab yourself and then I'm going to try again later.
Okay. You've been a bear, you've been a tree, you've been electrocuted, you've had a long day. And now that you are back in your half human, half elf form, your clothes are back, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking. It would be fine if they weren't. I was just wondering.
No, because that would be less AC. I would not like that.
Ah, fair enough. So you are wearing clothes, so we can't necessarily see, but you got electrocuted just like Gideon did. And Gideon was, of course, in her normal elven form when she got electrocuted, and that is absolutely going to scar. Do you still have a marking from when you were electrocuted, or did that leave you when you turned from a bear?
So there was something interesting that happened, and that interesting thing was when he was healed, it kind of healed the marks in their place. And so when he shifts out of that tree form, I mean, he's largely clothed, but you might see some of it coming up his neck a little bit in between the runes that you might see tattooed there. The marks are there, but only just barely visible because of all the clothing and the little armor he's wearing.
Okay. And your skin is bluish.
Yes.
Are the scars lighter than your skin or darker than your skin?
If you think of scar tissue being a little bit lighter.
Okay. Because scar tissue can be lighter or darker depending on people's, how they heal. So it's lighter for you?
I'll go with lighter. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. Because your runes are darker.
Mm-hmm.
That is really neither here nor there. I just thought it was cool. Okay. Reva, it's you.
All right. So Reva hears all this commotion going down and she rushes to the edge of the pit, standing over where Pax is struggling. And she says, "Pax, Pax, look at me. Pax?"
Pax does not look at you.
Or not. Okay, that's fine. Just listen to me. Pax, you don't want to do this. Reva sees that she's being ignored, but she keeps talking anyways. And what she's using is the antagonize feat. With antagonize, you can either use a diplomacy or intimidate check.
Mm.
And in the past, she's used intimidate to cause creatures to fly into a rage and then like basically draw aggro. But she doesn't actually want to make Pax more angry. So she's going to use diplomacy and she's just going to like start talking. And she says, "Pax, you don't want to do this. Lena's wrong.
You are a good dog.
You're a good pupper. He's a good dog." "Remember everything you've been fighting for? Upholding the peace? Lena's just trying to get in your head. Don't let her do this to you, Pax. This isn't you."
And from behind you, you hear Lena. And she says, "Oh, I see. You're thinking, this is Pax. They'll snap out of it." But let me tell you a story about Pax.
So sick of hearing your voice.
I know. Every time you start talking in Lena's voice, I just want to throw something at my computer. You did a good job.
Thanks.
You did a real good job at making a real hateable character.
You know their son, Auden? Well, Auden used to have different parents. Human parents.
I knew it.
Two farmers outside of Tarinth. Guess what happened to them? Guess who ate them?
Lena?
Rev just threw something at the camera. And Ira, it is your turn.
Wait, hold on.
Hmm? Oh, keep going.
I wasn't talking just for the sake of talking. That was part of the feat.
Right.
Okay, so now I roll diplomacy.
Okay.
The difficulty check is 10 plus the target's hit dice plus the target's wisdom modifier.
Okay, and I need you to take a -2 because Lena is dropping some horrible knowledge.
Lena is being a little shit. Okay.
What else is new?
I rolled a natural 1.
Oh my gosh. You made them more upset.
Okay, so you rolled a natural 1 trying to...
You were trying to roll diplomacy, but accidentally rolled the thing, the other thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think Pax is just more angry now.
So, yeah, basically, like, I tried to fluster them, but instead the opposite effect happened, which was causing them to fly into a rage.
Yeah, I think that they are more angry now. What would have been the useful effect of even the angry side would be they would be, you know, only able to attack you. I don't think that happens. I think they're just mad.
Mm-hmm.
And Pax stands up. And Ira, Tanru, you watch the rain run over their body, drip off the teeth in their open mouth and off of their claws, their bear claws, because they took those gloves off. And the muscles in their shoulders twitch.
Wait, I thought they were a werewolf, not a bear. I'm just kidding.
I thought it, but I didn't say it.
Same.
Oh, God. Introducing bears to this campaign has made it impossible to say the word bear. And Pax reaches up and rips the saddle off of their back, slicing through the leather straps with ease, and they pull back their teeth in a snarl.
I have to roll something.
Mm-hmm. Also, those arrows that Tanra handed Pax, they snap them in their hand.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
What did you just secretly roll, Coolness?
A decision.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. Cool and good. Do you want to bring us in on the ground floor for that, or is it a surprise? I am concerned.
As am I.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
This decision was, because it's a bad decision, I put it on the low end of the spectrum, and I was going for a 5 or less on it, and I rolled a 3.
Okay.
Tanru sees what's happening. And he looks at Pax, looks at Ira for a brief second, and then looks at Pax again.
Uh-oh.
If you want something, take me.
Yeah, this is a bad decision. Okay.
Yes, it is. I'm trying to save Ira.
Mm. Okay.
I don't remember if I put any quizing on anything. If I did, it would be on like a crossbow bolt. Or was it on my dagger? Fuck.
We kind of had a moment where everyone was like, oh yeah, I dip my weapons in the quizing. You don't usually do weapon combat. You usually do spells. So I think if you want to say that your weapons still have quizing on them, I'm totally good with that. Because they did not appear anywhere in the fight.
Does Tanru see you reaching for something? Well, I don't know. It's not your turn yet, I suppose, but...
It's Lena's turn.
Okay.
So Lena is going to use her turn to keep talking. And this is going to give everybody a debuff. Everybody is going to take a -2 on anything they do next round. And Lena paces around the top of the pit. And actually kind of approaches behind you, Reva. And Lena says, Ever wonder why Auden has that long scar? Why he's missing an arm? Why Auden is a werewolf? It's Pax. Pax can do a lifetime of penance if they want, but nothing is going to make up for that. And that's all for Lena's turn. Everybody takes -2 on everything they do next round. Ira, it is you.
Okay. So I can do an action and a move action?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you can do an action and a move action, or you can do, usually, you can double up on your move action, which would usually be like running. You can go mm-hmm. twice as far. Last turn, I let you try to get out of the pit twice, which is not normally how that works, but if you wanted to do that again, I wouldn't mind.
No, I am going to take out his dagger. Ira's pretty sure that Pax isn't really paying attention that closely.
It doesn't look that way, no.
Because they're just, like, in their rage right now. Mm-hmm. So Ira's not going to try and be sneaky about it. He's just going to pull out his dagger and throw it at Pax.
Okay.
Just kind of aiming center mass.
So that'll be a ranged attack.
What are you throwing at Pax?
My dagger, which is the lower damage weapon.
Okay.
But it has Quizine on it.
If Tonrir had seen you trying for that, he was going to look at you and shake his head. But it's in the world now. I tried.
To draw aggro?
Yeah.
You're trying to protect Ira, and now Ira's trying to protect you. Like,
aww.
Great, so we both die.
Bros.
No, I'm not just going to leave you there with a...
You're so squishy, though. Tonrir has so much more life.
Yeah. I will say right now, Tonrir has 16 hit points, and Ira has 11. Nobody in this pit is doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Pax is.
That's true. Pax has all of their hit points.
So I'm throwing my dagger, hoping that maybe they are just so preoccupied with their rage that they don't even feel it.
I don't think that's a bad assumption. I think you can look at your dagger and then look at Pax, which is just this huge tower of like coiled muscle and rage, and assume that it probably won't even be noticed. So yeah, go ahead and make that attack roll. If you two sweet coconuts make it out alive after attempting to touchingly save each other, you got to go get matching tattoos or something.
Sure.
And they just say, I was in the pit. Pax was in the pit.
They say, I was in the pit with Pax and all I got was this tattoo.
Pax Pit 2022. That's...
All I got was this tattoo and possibly lycanthropy, depending on how the next 10 minutes go.
I mean, what else can happen to me? I've already been scratched.
Dead? Dead can happen to you.
Okay. Ranged attack. I am going to throw it. So maybe I'll just like step back and throw it.
Pax is right next to you and you're like, eh.
I think it's because Ira is not the fighting type. So, like, the physical act of, like, stabbing someone is hard for Ira. But, like, throwing something, that's a little better.
Mm-hmm.
19. Ooh. Plus 6.
Hey,
plus 6.
Yeah, because that's
2.
My ranged attack bonus.
Some
right?
daggers have a 19 to 20 range.
Oh, yeah, 19 to 20 times fuck. 2, but within 5 feet.
And then you have to confirm the critical, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so roll again to see if the critical works.
It was a 19 again. Holy shit.
Fuck.
That's
wild.
Your
streak is broken.
I mean, yes and no. This is Pax we're talking about.
Yeah, because now it's going to be more damage. Right?
You're like, yeah. Oh, shit.
I wouldn't worry about how many hit points Pax has if I were you.
I think it's more that Ira was trying to do it in a non-angering
way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This will probably be noticeable. Yeah.
God, I hope my next roll is good.
Give me that damage.
Okay, so it's 7 times 2, which is 14.
Noticeable.
Damage. That would have killed me.
That plus next to TH, I don't think that's a damage modifier. I think that's still the hit modifier, right?
Okay, that makes more sense. Okay, so the damage is 2.
Okay, that's...
That's much less noticeable.
14 seemed like a lot.
My dagger turned into 5 daggers.
You throw this dagger dipped in Quisine at Pax. Where on Pax's body does it hit?
I'm kind of just throwing it at their center mass. So maybe it hits their arm for like that 2 damage.
Okay, cool. It grazes past their arm and leaves a cut mark. And in that cut is Quisine. And that will be helpful on Pax's turn. Anything else you want to do?
Yeah, I want to try to get out of this fucking pit.
Okay. Let's see it, champ. 15 is the number to beat.
Oh my God. I just rolled 2 19s. Come on. Okay. 9 plus 3. God damn.
Okay. Well.
Can I take a 5-foot step away from Pax?
I would. A 5-foot step lets you disengage, leave melee range without taking an attack of opportunity. So yes, I would do that.
Yes, I do that.
Okay. Great. Just Gideon, it is your turn.
And nobody has gotten out of the pit.
Nope.
Cool. Cool and good.
And Lena is very close to you. Lena is right behind Reva, talking shit in Reva's ear.
Talking shit in Reva's ear.
Hey, that is too close.
Yeah, I picture that like Reva is like leaning over the pit trying to help Pax. And Lena has come up behind Reva and was actually like,
no,
like personal space buddy, no. Like too close to Reva as she is telling you all these awful things about Pax to try to make it more difficult to help them or to snap them out of it.
So then hearing Lena's voice and hearing her continue to prattle on, Gideon's going to turn away from the pit where she was literally just yelling down like, you have to get out, hurry now, but not doing anything to help because she can't. And she is going to whirl around and fire the crossbow at Lena.
Point blank.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't suppose you have a point blank feat, do you? Probably not, but.
Does it seem like I'd be the type of person to have a point blank
at this point?
I really should get it.
Okay. I think you turn to face Lena and she sneers. And as you lift your crossbow, she says, I read your home was conquered, Gideon. That it fell without a fight. Now that I've met a Grey Frost, I can see why.
All right. I want to change the imagery of this to Gideon had turned around from the pit to face Lena, holding the crossbow in her hand, like kind of down at her side with a determined face. And then when Lena says that, you can see the water that's on the ground, the wetness on the ground starting to freeze and ice over near Gideon. The ice is pulling around Gideon's feet. And Gideon raises her crossbow, aims it at Lena. And Tonrir and Reva can feel just a surge of white hot anger coming from Gideon. And she says, don't you ever get tired of hearing your own voice. Shut the fuck up. And then fires. Shut the fuck up.
All right. Fucking great. Roll the hit.
Okay. Ooh, that's a nat 20.
Ooh, roll to confirm.
Let me check my crossbow.
Y'all coming in with these hot rolls.
19. It's 19 to 20, so.
Yeah, I remember from the first time.
I did not confirm it, unfortunately. I got a 7.
Memories. Oh, no.
Damn.
Do it again. Do it again.
Do it again.
Do it again. Do it again.
18.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got it.
Is that how confirming works?
It is when the GM says it is.
Oh, okay.
This is a gift horse. Enjoy it.
I, the god slash goddess of fate, swept in and erased your bad roll from the earth with a breeze of enjoyment at the idea of watching you shoot Lena.
Again.
So congratulations. You confirmed your crit.
Wonderful. What a stroke of luck.
Mm-hmm.
What is my crossbow damage?
It was pretty good last time.
6. Times 2? 12?
Okay, she's starting to look rough. Where did you shoot her?
Gideon probably just wanted to land. Cornelis was like right in the face.
Mindfulness points at his own nose.
I was thinking of that, but headshots are much more difficult. So I feel like it'd be more in Gideon's character to aim for center mass, because she's more just doing that like intense glare and then firing.
I picture you like just maintaining eye contact, telling her to shut up, and then without looking, lifting your crossbow and firing.
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing too. So she would probably aim center mass and just go straight for the torso hit again, which is where I think I hit her last time.
Mm-hmm. It is. So that crossbow bolt sinks into her stomach again, and it is deja vu. Okay, she does not look great.
She never did.
Ooh.
Oh, sick burn. Okay. All right. So now it's Pax.
Coolness is rising.
To the occasion.
Pax has straightened out. They have ripped the saddle off of their body, and they now stand before you, huge and terrifying. And they let out a spine-chilling roar. And I actually need will saving throws from everyone.
Is that also, that's a minus two, right?
Mm-hmm. Come on, Will.
I keep rolling threes. I got an 11.
I rolled an 11 plus 5 minus 2, so 14.
I rolled a 1 again.
Really?
Yep.
Fuck.
Oof.
Okay, do you have different dice? Maybe just roll in roll 20.
I think Reva has donated all the good rolls to Gideon and Ira.
Somebody's got to take the hit. Okay, Tonmir, 11. Reva, 1. Ira?
16.
Pretty good. Gideon?
14.
Okay. Tonra, Reva, and Gideon, you all have the shaken effect.
Okay. No.
And Tonra. Pax turns their eyes towards you. They have that wide open jaw. Water is sort of pouring into their mouth and through their teeth, and they're not even noticing. And their eyes look cold but focused as they turn their attention on you. And Pax is going to try to bite you.
Okay.
I don't like that face.
You didn't donate the rolls to Dre as well, did you?
Hope not.
Because it looks like you did.
Uh-oh.
What is happening?
That might be a 20.
It's not a 20. I genuinely don't know what your AC is.
Well, let's have the drama unfold.
So Pax rolled a 21. What is your AC?
With the bark skin, the mage armor, and my regular armor?
Uh-huh.
21.
Oh, but it goes to the runner, doesn't it?
Yep.
So it goes to Pax.
Oh, no.
If your result equals or beats the target's armor class, you hit and deal damage.
Okay.
Give it to me, baby.
Okay. I didn't want to give you this. Okay, I'm going to need you to take 11 points of damage.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. Weren't you at 16?
Yep.
You have 5 hit points.
Mm-hmm.
And you have been bitten by a werewolf, so...
Yep.
Tonrir, Pax lunges at you. Through the darkness, through the rain. And they bite you. And it is such a big bite that you feel for a moment as if you are in a vice. Trapped and being crushed. Something within you snaps beneath the force of this bite, and you feel your body contorting, bending in ways it shouldn't. You can hear the blood pounding in your ears, and in one frozen moment, as Pax draws back, you see your own blood coating their long white teeth. You have been bitten by a werewolf. Roll a fortitude saving throw. This is Dre Silvertooth, and thank you for listening to episode 45 of Bad Heroes, part 20 of the Wild Hunt arc. Finally, we are wrapping this arc up, and with a bang. I will keep this short so you can get back to it. I want to thank our new patron, Kim, for supporting our show. Seriously, it means so much to us. Thank you so much, dude. If you are also enjoying the show, please consider checking out our Patreon. patreon.com/badheroes. We have tiers as low as $2 a month and lots of goodies for patrons. If you sign up before the end of April, we will send you an extremely cute patron sticker sheet with a little Tassier snake and a little vampire bat, a little werewolf face, a flaming sword. It's very cute. Another way to support our show is by leaving a review on any platform. Spotify has a super easy rating system, stars only, no text. So if you are listening on Spotify, you can click those 5 stars really quick and keep listening. Sharing on social media that you're enjoying the show is always super helpful, or best of all, you can just tell a friend. As an added bonus, if you get someone else to tune into our show, they'll understand what you mean when you say dimensional yeet. Hey, we have a shop. shop.badheroescast.com. We are preparing for the Wild Hunt merch drop, but in the meantime, we've still got all kinds of goodies from the first arc and a lot of very cool designs. If you want to find us on social media, we are at Bad Heroes Cast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. If you want to share spoilers on Twitter and scream about current events, and trust me, after this episode, you might want to, you can tag your posts with #BadHeroesSpoilers. Now, let me tell you about an amazing human who creates amazing custom dice bags. Games by B is the best, and their dice bags, dice trays, patches, and tarot card bags are genuinely beautiful. You can find B on Etsy at Games by B. That's B-E-E. B even has a Bad Heroes dice bag and tray that we helped design, featuring our cool snake logo. And you should check it out, because it is gorgeous. As always, we want to thank our sponsor, Roll20. You can build your own virtual tabletop and play games with your friends from anywhere at roll20.net. Finally, we want to shout out our partners at Grinding Coffee, who can deliver tasty coffee right to your door. You can use the code BADHEROES, all one word, at grindingcoffee.co for 10% off your next coffee order. Music in this episode is Stay the Course, Dark Walk, and The Descent by Kevin MacLeod, Labyrinth, Immersive, and Black Swan by Sergei Chiramisinov, and Run by Kai Engel. Our theme is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane. We also use sound effects from freesound.org, and you can check our show notes for the full credits. That is all for now. Our next episode will be out on April 22nd. See you then. I want you to know that I am physically sweating. Okay, so what did you get on that fortitude save?
What is with these fucking threes? Are you fucking kidding me?
Oof. Ouch. Okay.
Okay. He just like, he takes it. Oh. And he looks up at Pax.
Oh, boy.
Don't regret this.
Oh, they will. Oh, they will.
He's trying. Mm. This wasn't you.
Oh, no. Okay, good.
Can I accelerate the process somehow?
But why?
To go after Lena really is what it is. That's okay. But here's hear me out.
Can you tell me how? I can't think of how.
But why?
If it settles in quick enough with a big enough bite and he tries to advance the shift with his wild shape.
Mm.
Here's why. Mm. There were two reasons why Tonrir tried to antagonize Pax. One to save Ira.
To become a fucking werewolf.
To become a fucking werewolf because he wants to get after Lena.
So, okay. So here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Getting lycanthropy or being bitten or scratched by a werewolf has two parts. The first part is what we just did, which is, does the curse take? The second part is, do you survive it?
Yeah.
So if you speed this process up, instead of having you do a series of rolls in which you become progressively sicker and we attempt to see if it kills you or not, I will have you do one roll. And if you roll bad, you die. You won't die instantly, but you will die. And I'm not going to save you. You will die. You're not rolling great. Are you sure you want to do this?
You've been rolling a lot of threes there, bud.
Yeah. Does it guarantee that it will be accelerated to shift?
I think that's fair. I think that because you are a druid who can do animal transformation, I think if you rock this roll, then what that would mean is you accelerate the process without feeling all of the ill effects of getting an extremely high fever and basically getting like very, very sick before you transform. You are beneath the full moon. The time is now. So yes, if you do really good, you can transform right away. Now, counterpoint, bud.
Yeah.
At no point have I ever said that when you turn into a werewolf, you have any fucking control over being a werewolf. The Guardians have spent fucking a decade of their life learning how to have control over being a werewolf. So, bud, if you turn into a werewolf, you are under my control.
But the story.
Unless you can think of a smart way, a reason that what you would do under a first shift would be to go after Lena instead of the people right in front of you.
This is fucking literally Tonrir as a druid being like, I'm doing it for the vine.
Which makes sense because the vine is a nature thing,
I'm
right?
Going to die for the vine. This is the fucking druid version of Jackass. It will either kill you or be very cool. Jesus Christ.
I have something that might help me focus on Lena if I decide to go with it. And I know how I'm going to make the choice. I'm going to roll for it.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. Okay. Oh, no. This is the worst. I'm so stressed out. Okay. You can't stop your players from making bad choices. Nope. You really understand that I will really let you die. You know that, right?
Yes, and
I'm just being clear, because normally I'm pretty gentle, but I will literally let you die.
Here's the thing. If that crit didn't kill Lena, and now we have Pax to contend with, and everybody else being in bad shape, and I'm 5 hit points from death's door.
Okay, all right.
So your logic is we're all going to die anyway, so might as well go out with a bang?
We all might die, but at least some of us will die less.
Ay, caramba. Okay.
So,
oy vey.
I'm going to talk so that Pax hears me because I'm going to address Lena. And Hopefully Pax kind of gets the gears going, right?
Okay. And I think to set you up for this, as Pax pulls back from biting you, they do actually start blinking out of it. And you see some of that recognition coming back into their face. You see horror in their face, but you see some of that expression, that Pax that you know, return. And it's probably a combination of the Quisene and the fact that they just did something that they will absolutely regret. And now you think that Pax is looking at you. And you see overhead that Lena is not looking at you because she's just been shot by Gideon. So Lena and Gideon are otherwise engaged, but I think Ira, Riva, and Pax are all looking at you.
Okay. So, Tonrir just got done telling Pax what little it might do is don't regret this. And he's holding where he was just bit. I mean, and it hurts. And everything hurts.
Where do you think that was? I was picturing somewhere on your core.
Yeah, I was thinking like right side of the chest because he was trying to back off.
Okay, so you have a couple broken ribs now.
Yeah. So he's hard of breath right now, but maybe it's that animal ferocity. Maybe it's that early onset. Who knows? But Reva and Gideon, you feel it again, that anger. Everybody's so angry. And he's looking down at the water, and then he looks up and goes, Lena! You're a coward in search of power. People like you burn down forests and make other people believe the sacrifices that they make are for a cause when they're really just for you. Every other werewolf I've met has had compassion, regret, kindness, hope, a wish for peace. And that's when I realized, Lena, that you seek power. But everything you have done has been on the backs of others. It's easy for you to taunt when we're in a cage, or when you're in the shadows pulling the strings. But you'll fall like a tree in loose sand when I turn my claws and teeth against you. You hypocrite. All right, so here's the decision point.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
I'm going to roll a d20 in the chat.
Okay, wait. Oh, God.
So we get to watch you die.
Oh, boy.
Dice are deciding whether he decides to accelerate the transformation or not. If he rolls less than an 8, he's going to do it.
Okay.
Here we go. I rolled a 16.
Okay, so you're not going to do it.
I'm not going to do it.
Woo.
I mean, I could. You want me to? I'll do it.
It's up to you.
My mind's telling me no, but my body's telling me yes.
Oh, boy.
Let's do it. Let's fucking do it. I'm going to roll. So fortitude, right?
Yes. It's fortitude saving throw. If you do bad, you will die.
Mm. 18.
Okay, so you don't die. Oh, thank God. Do you have a modifier on that?
I put the +4 on there. So if there's a -2 for fortitude.
You still make it. The check is 15.
Okay.
Okay, so Tonra does not instantly die, because that would be deeply unfortunate, although it would be what you deserve.
So
if we're being completely honest.
So he said that, and he says, let me show you what honor looks like when it has teeth.
All right. Okay.
Have fun.
Okay.
Have fun.
All right.
Me.
So, okay. Now, can you, why? Okay. Bud, friend. Person who I love and is very dear to me, why do you think that you're going to turn into a werewolf and you are not going to try to eat Ira and Pax?
If anything, I was kind of, I don't want to say rolling the dice, but I was chancing it that either maybe I would go after Lena, or because Pax is more prominent in front of me, I would fight Pax and give Ira another chance to escape. If I go after Ira, well, I'll bring seasoning.
Oh my God. Hey, I have a question. Where the fuck is the hoop right now?
So when you turn into a bear or you do any of your druidic shifting, your stuff melds onto your body. That is not true when you turn into a werewolf. That is why Pax and the other guardians have like special werewolf clothes. That's why Pax wears gigantic flowy pants so that when they turn back from being a werewolf, they don't have their butt out. So your stuff does not meld into you. Your stuff actually falls off of you. So
it's in the pack.
Yeah. You're going to rip up some of your armor, by the way.
I mean, it's probably tattered at this point anyway.
Yeah. So some of your base clothes will get ripped up. Your pack falls off of you. The Cloak of the Cypress falls off of you. Tanra's belongings fall around him in a chaotic pile. And Tanra, your skin is blue and your hair is green. What color werewolf are you?
If we want to get decorative about it, the werewolf will have runes like when Tanra is a bear, but patterned into the fur. Mm-hmm. The fur on the front of his werewolf body is light, almost white, but his steel blue skin colors the fur at his back and along the tops of his shoulders, his arms, and his legs. I think he'll have hints of greenish hue on the backs of his ears and near the tip of the tail. And then his longer green hair will probably shift to be part of his mane.
We got a blue-green werewolf. We got a purple cat. This party is wild.
Pink Floyd's happy.
Give me a will saving throw so I can figure out if you... What? So I can figure out what to do with this bad idea.
It's so good, though.
You didn't die, though. I'm relieved about that.
25.
Fuck you, man.
I'm fine.
Fine. Fine. Okay. All right. Okay. God. All right. So, Tanra.
Then just by the way, this was nowhere in my planner for the day.
It was also not in my planner for the day.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Tanra, you feel this werewolf bite. You feel bones crunching and your own blood, and you feel something. Something inside you that was not inside you before. It feels, when you were a bear, you have described being aware of this concept that there is your awareness and the bear's awareness. And to some extent, there is a difference. You can feel the difference. Even before you shift, you feel something new behind your eyes, something looking out and seeing the world through you. It's the curse. And as you use your druidic powers to accelerate this process, instead of getting a fever slowly, instead of slowly working through this, you feel an incredible amount of pain as you simply force it. And as you force it, oh my God, does it hurt. You can feel your body reshaping, you can hear bones crunching. You've seen this with the Guardians, but they've made it smooth. It is not smooth on you. In fact, it is miserable. And when you come out the other side, you are hunched and you are panting and you are sweating. You are drenched in rainwater and you feel that thing, this new presence behind your eyes, you feel it take the front seat. And it's easy now for you to get out of the pit. In fact, it's shockingly easy for you to do most things. And you climb out of this pit with animal grace. And you almost can't believe how big you are. You almost can't believe how big your hands are. These bricks, I mean, they look tiny next to you. And when you rise out of this pit and you stand above Gideon and Reva, they look small. Gideon, Reva, Ira, any reaction to this whole situation?
Do we still have that emotional connection? Are we feeling anything?
I think you felt a ton of pain for a minute.
Reva does that thing where she's looking eye level and it's probably like Tanru's knee or something. And her eyes just travel up and just keep going up. And she's just like, oh, hey. Did you get a haircut or something?
Oh, hey, and oh, no.
Something's different about you.
Well, there's certainly not less hair, I'll tell you that.
So Gideon doesn't want to stop facing Lena, but obviously there is now a huge werewolf next to her. right? Because is Tonmir out of the pit now?
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of the pit.
He has risen.
So yeah, Gideon is kind of still facing Lena, facing the main threat, but then glances over to look at this new wolf and feeling all the confusing feelings that she did through the bond and feeling that pain. She's just going to say, I'm glad you're still with us somewhere in there.
Ira, he's still in this pit, and when he like saw the transformation, he's like up against the wall, but he sees Tanrir transform, and like while that's happening, he like backs up a little into the wall, like as much as he can, because he was there in the pit with like someone who was on his side and was also his size somewhat, and this werewolf packs. And then suddenly he was in the pit with two snarling werewolves. And so he's like backing up.
The worst place for a cat to be.
Yeah. And just like eyes like, oh my God, like what is happening? I'm going to die. And like just kind of like as far back into the wall as he could possibly be.
Okay. So Tanrir has transformed into a werewolf and crawled out of the pit. And Pax, who has started to come back to themself, looks at you, Ira, and says, you got to stop them. He is going to kill her and he is going to regret it for the rest of his life. You have to stop him now.
Me? Do you know how many times I've tried to get out of this pit? And you want me to stop a werewolf that's not in this pit? I can't even get out of this pit.
Spent the whole damn fight in this pit.
I haven't done a damn thing to help. And you want me to help now.
I got you.
Grab Tanrir's pack.
So Pax is offering to like lift you out of the pit.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like that?
Yes. Maybe. Because in here is a calm Pax. Out there is an angry werewolf and Lena. How about they just come into this pit? Like, why don't we just do that?
Just come over to my house. I'm already wearing my jammies.
I was like, can we move this to the pit where I can do something?
And Tanrir lost something on his way to becoming a werewolf?
Tanrir lost all of his worldly belongings on his way to becoming a werewolf. And his pack, which
it no fit no more.
It no fit no more. And he's got like some tattered clothes on still. His pants.
He's in his skivvies.
Yeah, he's got that sort of classic werewolf look when you see Art of Werewolves where like their pants from the knee down are shredded because their feet and their, you know, legs got so big.
Yeah.
And their shirts are just like goodbye shirt because their shoulders got so broad. Yeah. Tonra's bag is right next to you. This bag that is suspiciously hoop shaped. Hint, hint.
Well, Ira grabs the hoop. I mean, the bag.
Good.
Iris sticks his head through the hoop and goes, a little help here.
Things are breaking bad. Just wanted to give you an update.
So he grabs the bag and he looks at Pax and is like, what?
Yeah, yeah. So if you grab the bag and you make a move to get out of that pit, Pax like grabs you and like fastball specials you out of this pit.
Oh my god!
Doesn't hurt you, but like grabs your feet and just, I mean, Pax is huge, can kind of just stand up and push you.
Okay.
No, Pax yeets you.
And where does Ira end up?
Pax absolutely throws you. Pax pushes you up by Reva, Gideon, and Lena.
Good.
You are in the party. And I think Lena has just noticed this additional werewolf and the fact that he is looking at her. She has one hand wrapped around the crossbow bolt in her stomach, and both eyes turned on Tonrir. The situation is about to break pretty bad. And then you will have no one to send back to the capital.
Also, we will have killed someone.
And also, you will have murdered someone, yeah.
Be like, hey, if you want to live, get in this hoop.
Lena's, like, facing Gideon and Tonrir. Like, she's looking at Gideon because Gideon shot her, and then at Tonrir because, like, hey, new werewolf.
Yeah.
Okay. Gideon casts message, which is a whispered message, and I can receive whispered replies. So I have to point my finger at the person I want to receive the message. So Gideon's just keeping her crossbow aimed at Lena, and then her other hand is kind of off to her side secretly pointing, trying to disguise it.
From the hip.
Like, from the hip, just like, hey. Points at Ira, and Ira can hear a whisper in Gideon's voice that says, "We have her attention. Go around the side and use the hoop." Ira, you can reply if you want to. But not, don't like go like, okay.
Roger that.
No, Ira's going to be like, got it.
Ira pulls out the hoop, points at the hoop, points at Lena, raises one eyebrow.
This?
Eh?
The only thing is about this spell is those nearby can hear the messages if they pass a DC 25 perception check.
Okay. Lena rolled a 3, so she doesn't hear anything.
Good. Somebody else took those.
Yeah, she's taking your 3s now. Okay. Reva, are you participating in this operation?
I think Reva is really distracted by Tonrir right now.
Who wouldn't be? It's deeply distracting.
I would like to give Lena the shaken effect, but I don't know if I can do a like intimidating growl or some such in just one direction.
You'll shake us all.
We have moved out of the section of this fight where you guys are trying to fight her by the rules. We are now in the section of this fight where we are doing a video game cutscene. So if you want to roar in her face, I think you should roar in her face.
Yeah, and it's entirely to further distract.
Yeah, give me an intimidate roll.
Intimidate is based on charisma, isn't it?
Right, but werewolf.
That's true.
For now, do plus 10.
Okay. God damn.
So it's going to be plus 9. 23.
Yeah, so you crawl out of this pit. You stand huge over Gideon and Reva. And as all eyes turn to Lena, you let out this terrifying roar.
And Gideon's like, ah!
My ears! And
that's how you get tinnitus.
And I think Lena tries to step backwards and she trips. And she falls so that she is sitting on the ground looking up at you in horror. I think Ira is slowly creeping up behind Lena, and Reva and Gideon, you are in front of her with Tonrir behind you.
We were standing perpendicular to Lena and Tonrir, and then as Tonrir like roared and advanced, like Gideon and Reva sort of parted like the Red Sea.
Oh yeah, to let Tonrir through.
To make way for Tonrir.
Okay, cool. So you two part side to side to make way for Tonrir. And as Ira approaches and lifts the hoop, any last things you guys would like to say or do?
Eat hoop, bitch.
Classic and beautiful narrative, as always.
Beautiful poetry.
And then the Space Jam theme starts playing.
Okay.
I'm gonna jam.
Lena goes through the hoop.
Get dunked on.
Lena gives you one last horrified look at your smug-ass faces. And Ira drops the hoop over Lena, and she disappears. Congratulations, you have done it.
Da, 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 da. And only two of us are werewolves. 50% success rate.
Task successfully failed.
We've gotten rid of one problem, and now we have a whole new problem.